the grace of our Lord overflowed for me. Do you, do I know anything of that? The grace of the Lord overflowing for us, for me. Now there's no doubt that Paul was a big sinner. But who isn't? When God's Spirit works on us, we're the biggest sinner in the world, no matter who we are. But Paul was a big sinner, a public sinner. But of course, in God's eyes, we're all public. There's no one hidden. There's nothing hidden from God. In your life or in my life, we're big sinners. And what you and I need more than anything else is for His grace to overflow for us and in us. Now he says this in the middle of instructing the young preacher, Timothy, who was in Ephesus. And I think probably had been discussing things with him, maybe leaving Ephesus. But Paul makes it very clear, remain at Ephesus. Now in these days, Paul of course had authority, an apostle over others. And so in verse 3, as we have it, as I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, I'm saying the same again, remain at Ephesus, so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine than the doctrine you heard from me. Seems to be that there were other preachers. Seemed to be other preachers, and they were teaching myths. Myths. And different things. And the law. But they were teaching the law in the wrong way. And Paul said, it's not the law you need to preach. It's the gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul himself can never forget how he kept the law up to a point. Up to a point. And how the gospel, how we met with Jesus Christ, and how it brought a radical change to him. These people that Timothy was to stay and minister to and to correct, they had the wrong understanding of the law, what it was for. The law was not to get people saved. The law had three other purposes. The law of God has three purposes. It's not so that you'll get to heaven. You'll never get to heaven by keeping the law. Not that you could keep it anyway. But you'll never get to heaven to keep the law. The purpose of the law is to protect innocents from harm. That's one of the reasons for the law. But the main reason that we evangelicals would give for preaching of the law is that it will bring us conviction of sin, that we just can't keep it. We're not able to keep it perfectly, as we must if we're going that way to try and please God. We can never do it perfectly. And of course the third reason for the law is that in knowing, in discovering that we cannot keep it. It's just too big, it's too often, it's too much, it affects too much of our lives and our thoughts and our intentions and our motives. Oh my, we haven't a chance of keeping it pure and right, our lives. He said it'll drive us to look somewhere else and drive us to Christ. We're saved through Christ and Christ alone. And so preach the gospel, Timothy, he's saying. Preach the gospel. The gospel can change people. And I'll give you a tremendous example of the power of the gospel. And that example that he pointed to was himself. It can change me. It has changed me. I was a huge sinner. I was a big sinner. He says in verses 15 and 16, I was the biggest, the foremost. I was the foremost sinner. I was holding the garments of those who were killing Stephen. I was encouraging them. I was cheering them on, as it were, on the sidelines. I was holding their garments so that no one would steal them and take them away. These Christians would try and be awkward and prevent things, but I was holding the garments of those who were stoning Stephen. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, that is me, the foremost sinner, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example of those who were to believe in him for eternal life. I'm an example of the power of God. I hated Christians. I did my utmost to silence them. But not now. And so Paul is very taken up with his past life. And he sees the blessing of hindsight. He sees and looks at himself. He's been talking about the law, how it convicts sin. And he gives the proof of its conviction in his own example. But he received mercy. This overflowing mercy reached someone like me. So preach the gospel. Preach Christ. The great change that took place in Paul. As a legalist, he would often say, I kept the law above anyone. Look, have I kept the law. I kept it. Look at how much I have kept it. But now with hindsight, he's not saying that at all. He says he's the foremost sinner. And he's saying what Christ has done in him and for him. There's perhaps no one that has changed so radically as the Apostle Paul. This passage itself is an amazing testimony to his remarkable change in all of history. Who has reversed his position more than the Apostle Paul? He was a Pharisee. He had position and authority in the Jewish religion. And but he's reversed it completely. This overflowing mercy changed him radically. And he's so thankful to God. And that's one of the results. If you or if we found Christ, if we found this overflowing mercy has reached us, reached your heart and reached my heart, there's one result that will be outstanding. And that's thankfulness. We'll be thankful for every little thing. And will attribute it to God in his grace. This grace that overflowed. Everything you receive, you'll be thankful to God for. If you're not thankful, you're not saved. If you're not thankful, if you don't attribute to God every good thing you haven't met Jesus. This Jesus for whom his grace is overflowing. Flowing right into your heart. I thank Jesus, now Paul says, for Jesus Christ our Lord. I marvel at God's protection of me. When I was so ignorant, and as you look back, if you cannot see, and look back on your life don't realize how God looked after you in times. I ask you to think again. Have you met Jesus? I look back on my life and there were occasions if God did not intervene. When I was going a certain path, If God, if Providence didn't intervene, who knows where it could have ended? Who knows what trouble I could have got into? It didn't happen. And I was upset it happened, because it stopped me in my course of doing something I knew was wrong. All of us have that, I think. Those of us who were taking the bread and the wine today. There have been occasions, I think, if we look back, and this is what Paul is doing, he's looking back at his life, and the benefits of hindsight, he's looking back, and he's marvelling at God intervening. And for him, well, Jesus had to come down to the Damascus Road and speak to him. Meet with him. Speak with him. If you're not thankful, if you have not seen God at work in your life, in Providence, Providence is a wonderful thing. It convinces me of God's rule. And without these things happening, at the times they happen, at the specific points that they happen, then life would be completely different. But God had his plan and his purpose. And one of the reasons that God gives us hindsight is that we can recognize his gracious hand in our lives. One of the advantages of old age, actually, is that you see these things more often. You see it in your children. And if you live as old as me, you see it in your grandchildren. You see the mistakes. And you remember yourself. Oh, I remember that. I remember going that way and doing that. And using these excuses. Wriggling out of things and so on. The blessing of hindsight. We can see God's hand. And it raises up this spirit of thankfulness to God, that he delivered us. That he delivered us. People say quite often, I hear them saying, and you'll have heard it too, oh, if I was young again. If I was just young again, this is what I would do, and that's what I would do. For a Christian, as we've been saying, there's this sovereign God intervention. This sovereign God dimension that God prevented, God intervened in our life, and we can recall his work in our hearts and in our lives. When you see someone doing something foolish, you realize how merciful God was to you. The psalmist that we were singing of contemplated and saw the wicked. And he recognized that he himself was different, and he was blessed, but that he was brutish and ignorant, and he was in God's sight as a beast. And that's what we were. And we can recall, as Christians, looking back, before God spoke to us, we were beasts, we were horrible. And there's still a mark, some marks within us, aren't there, of being a beast. It's the seed of wickedness is still in our hearts, still in mine. Times when a beast stumbled. The Apostle Paul really believed he was the worst. He wasn't pretending. It's the way he felt. It's the way he actually felt. I'm a beast. He wasn't mock humility. He might have been wrong in his assessment, but he was honest. And this is who I am, and I've been doing these things which are terrible. He was looking back. Now, Paul is particularly grateful to God for three things. He's thankful to God that God gave him strength at certain times. And there are times when we can look back on our lives and see the strength that was from God and from no one else. I thank him who has given me strength, verse 12, because he received this overflowing mercy. He felt there was one time he was nearly dead. He was taken as dead, and those around him were dead. But he rose up. God raised him up. It was the strength of God. I thank God who has given me strength. I can do all things, he said, through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And God strengthened him on many occasions. When he was at Lystra, and they stoned him, supposing that he was dead. But when the disciples gathered about him, he rose up. When he was in Corinth, he walked around, and he was in weakness and fear and in much trembling. That's not the image I got of him when he was in Corinth. When you read the Bible, he tells us that's the way it was. I've heard ministers saying, oh, I felt terrible. Oh, I felt terrible. And yet everyone else who heard him never got that idea. I remember people at Presbytery in different places. They were strong. They said wonderful things. And afterwards they said they were trembling. Well, Paul was trembling walking the streets of Corinth. And yet he had a wonderful ministry in Corinth. A wonderful ministry. We read about him that he went into the synagogues. He went other places, and many of the Corinthians, hearing Paul, although he was trembling, although he felt terrible, he believed. Many believed and were baptized. Then Paul thanked God for Christ giving him confidence, having confidence in Paul. He thanked Christ for having confidence in him. Even after having such a history, you know, you're always worried about someone claiming conversion suddenly and all of a sudden in a way there's a worry. Well, his life, his past life, he's got to change a lot of things. And can we trust him yet? Well, they never trusted Paul, actually. The people didn't trust him, but God did. God trusted him because he knew it was his work that was in him. And as he says, he judged me faithful. I thank him that he judged me faithful to be a true leader and to carry his gospel and to entrust me with the gospel. There are those people, of course, who are Christians, and when they feel weak, they just give up. But Paul said that when he was weak, that's when he knew he was strong. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. In the Lord. In the Lord. That's where our strength is. Not in ourselves, but in the Lord. And the third thing that Paul thanked God for, Christ for appointing me to his service. God gave him a special appointment of apostleship. A special role. The apostles, the 12 apostles, were the leaders of the church. And these 12 apostles went into the world, and they are the ones who started it all. After the resurrection of Christ, these 12 apostles went out, and they had a special authority. They had a special task. But you know, everyone has a special task. You, Christian, whoever you are, a special role in the world. You have a special task to fulfill for God. Mothers, what a task. I think perhaps the most important task a mother with her child, bringing up that child. So close, bonding with the child. Old people too, who can perhaps only give people a lift. That's an important task. It's very valuable to Christ. It's very important to Christ. Whoever you are, you have a calling from God. God has appointed you, and you should thank God that you're able to do something. However humble, however little it may seem, it's not little in God's eyes, because He's appointed you that you would be alive at that time, and available that time, and made willing at that time to give that type of help, however humble it may be. All of us have things to do, and it's glorifying to God when we do it for God, and we're thankful to God that we were able to do that. And every one of us, whatever our work, whatever our occupation, the blessings of hindsight. And Paul, of course, comes to confess and admit his past. I had a terrible past. I did it. I can't pass it on to anyone. What amazed Paul most of all, as he looked back with hindsight, was the change that took place in his life. I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent opponent. But I obtained mercy. This overflowing mercy reached me. Although I was guilty of these things, to blaspheme the name of God, to be a persecutor, to be a violent opponent, who tried to destroy the Christian faith, was terrible. But even I obtained mercy. No excuses. I had acted. I did these awful things. I can't blame anyone. Even those who encouraged me. I cannot blame them. I did it. And that's what he's doing here. He's accepting the responsibility of being a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent opponent. Now he says he acted ignorantly in unbelief. How could he say he did ignorantly? That always puzzled me. What was he ignorant of? He was not ignorant, surely, that killing someone was wrong. But who was he killing? That was the wrong. That's what he was ignorant of. He did not believe that the Apostle Paul was the Messiah. And that's what he was ignorant of, that he was persecuting the Son of God. The God he believed in. The God he believed in. He believed that there was to be a Messiah. Everyone believes some truth. Paul believed a lot, but he didn't believe that this person was the Son of God. He expected someone completely different. He did not expect a suffering Messiah. As he said himself about his brothers and his sisters, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Paul genuinely did not know Jesus was the Messiah, and he took until he went up to Damascus on that road on that day. And Jesus met with him and said, "Paul, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I'm Jesus. I am Jesus." And he acted ignorantly until that day that brought such a dramatic change. Now all of us, to some degree or other, can can agree with Paul and can look back and point to a time when we were ignorant. We're ignorant of Jesus and his power and his mercy. We can all say that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, because mercy overflowed to me. It overflowed to me. Do you know about this? Do you know and value God's love in Jesus Christ? Remember, in how bad you've been in the past, are you amazed at God's superabundant, overflowing mercy and love, his love and his forgiveness? and then give thanks. And we should give thanks tonight to God for all he has done for us and taken us through up to this point where we are. This wonderful gospel, this wonderful gospel we were celebrating this morning, it is the gospel of grace. And there is not a person on earth who's not invited to come and drink from this well abundantly. There's salvation for all and sundry. And the gospel message, as Calvin would say, we're offering you Christ. There's no restrictions. Come and dine. Come and take it. Come and have the bread. And come and have the wine. And be thankful and be grateful. Well, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecuted, an insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Well, may God bless his word to us. Let's pray.